Oh, my friends, my friends. You hear how much fun we're having?
We're having lots.
I mean, what is that?
I'm tasting the tea.
What is that? Which kind of iced tea is that, Chef Eric?
It's a
the Chablis?
It's a white grape tea.
It's a lovely dry tea. Yeah.
Very much so. Anyway, my friends, if you could tell, we're having a ton of fun. And no one has a ton like Chef Eric and I when it comes to fun. We are here at the Cook's Warehouse in East Cobb. We are Marietta, Georgia. That is north of Atlanta for those of you outside the purview of our normal listening audience. And for all the 42 states and 21 countries that listen to the show, we are so thankful and appreciative. That's why we bring you the very neatest, the coolest, and the most fun chefs that you can possibly find. And to this date, and with no exception, we have Crystal Cook and Sandy Pollock. They are the Casserole Queens with our new book, Casserole Queens
Make a Meal
Cookbook.
That's right, cookbook. Hashtag make a meal.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget the twit.
Don't forget the twit.
Listen, I choose to leave that very open softball alone. But speaking of something that is really near and dear to a carnivore's heart, especially this time of year, smossages.
Smossages. What is in your iced tea?
Seriously. Yes.
But you could call them snossages, smossages, or just plain old sausages. They are so prevalent this time of year because people are thinking Oktoberfest, cooler weather.
Baseball
they're thinking sausage,
games,
baseball. There's nothing better. Tailgating. You could see the smoke wafting up from the big green eggs all across the turf as people are tailgating with their sausages. And this is no exception. You've got a great, great sausage recipe right here, especially since you're using one of the key ingredients to making great sausages, fennel.
Fennel, yes. Absolutely. It's a really great fall. This is a good fall dish, but it's good all year. We use a great spicy Italian sausage in this just to like kick up the flavors. We like spice. We're from Texas. I love good spicy stuff, but you can, if you're not a spicy sausage person, just use your favorite sausage. It'll all work in this recipe. But if you use a spicy sausage, I think you'll jump up and down and be super happy. So here, really quickly, what we've got going here is we've got a large saute pan. We've got about a tablespoon of olive oil, give or take. And we're just going to stick the snossages in here and let them brown.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. About 5 minutes on each side. So let's get this oil heated up here.
We got a pound of snossages.
We got a pound of snossages.
Well, that's great because that's about a sandwich for Eric and I. You know, I don't know what everybody else is going to be. No, that's really for Eric or I.
But we're going to make this into a big meal. It's going to have some potatoes and fennel, and it's going to be layered with some tomatoes and cheese.
So this is going to be one of those casseroles that, once again, is going to be awesome to have this time of year, especially as the months cool down, because this is a lot of prep work where you're getting a little heat.
Right.
So you stay out of the kitchen.
So while we wait for the pan to heat, this is a great time to talk about two different types of burners. You have gas burners. And you have induction burners.
You've got me on the induction burner.
Go.
It is awesome.
See, I
got
to tell you. Now, I've been a gas burner guy all my life until I started using. And we use it for when we travel, when we're in a remote site, and I've got access to power, I'll use portable induction burners.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh. I mean, you've got a pot of water that's boiling in 20, 30 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't cook on it much because of that. Like, it's so powerful. I've used them a couple times. I'm like, holy moly,
but
I can't.
You set a temperature and it's stable.
Yeah.
You can use it for people at home. You can even create your own little sous vide cooker. If you've got like a food saver type of, you know, vacuum thing, vacuum sealer at home, you can vacuum seal whatever it is, you know, put in salmon with whatever marinade or meat or whatever, and then you put it in water that you've got set in on an induction burner at a certain temperature, let's say 225, 250, something like that. And it keeps that at exactly that temperature. It's unbelievable.
I would love to work.
It doesn't really even need to circulate.
And where it really shows.
Great for frying, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You go 350, boom, you're going to be at 350.
Oh, that's great.
And you can literally pull off, and that burner over there is an induction burner here at Cook's Warehouse. You can pull that pan off and stick your hand right on it, and it won't
burn. And you're fine.
You can actually put a napkin between the pan and the burner.
What?
And it won't even turn brown.
Oh, my goodness.
Induction cooking. He
party
got me,
tricks.
What we were doing, the Great Gumbo Cook-Off in Mexico Beach, Florida, and we were competing, and Chef Eric brought his induction burner down, and he made roux. And, man, all he had to do Now, I have one where you have like 30 and 40 degree variants. Mm-hmm. You have one that does 10 degree variants.
Right.
But either or works because the temperature increments are all over the place. So you got plenty of variations. But, man, he just set that thing and started making roux. And then as soon as it started getting a little tough, he'd tap it down 10 degrees, and within 30 seconds, it dropped 10 degrees.
And you just tap it. Tap, tap.
Yep, you just tap. It is so easy. No, I mean, it's just, so I bought one for my camp, and now I'm going to get a second one for the house. Yeah. It's just that easy because it's great. No heat in the kitchen. But anyway, it looks like your oil's ready.
I think we're good. We're going to try to go for that sizzle. A little bit of sizzle. Almost.
I'm going to turn down the fan so that.
There we go.
You can hear the sizzle. There you go.
Ooh, sexy radio. All right, so we're going to leave those on there for about 5 minutes each side and get that going.
And in the meantime, we're going to preheat our oven. We're going to break our rule.
What? You're going to preheat your oven?
Yeah, we are. Wow. So we can put some lovin' in our oven.
Now, some people might. Yeah, well.
That's our tagline.
Yes, there you go. Boy, you are, tantalizing one's taste bud.
Yeah, because the food smells really great.
Yes, it really does.
I've got the other oven preheating for you.
Yeah, okay. I know. I turned it up to 450. We're breaking the rule of 350.
Yeah.
I know. We're going crazy here. We're going crazy.
Certainly not.
On the edge, you two.
I know. We live it on the edge.
That's right. Do you use gray sea salt for your margaritas too?
Pink.
We're girly.
Himalayan.
We're girly.
Himalayan.
Awesome, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Himalayan lights, the lamps that people have now?
Oh, out of the salt.
Yeah, it's out of a big rock salt of Himalayan, a chunk of Himalayan salt. I've got one at home in my
Why
workout room.
Why am I not
room.
Surprised?
It's amazing. There's like, it puts out ions. When you walk in there, you can just breathe better than any other room in the house. It's amazing.
Of course, your blood pressure goes up.
Okay. No.
He's not licking it. He's
sea salt does not raise your blood pressure. Sodium chloride raises your
Thank
blood
you,
pressure.
Dr. Holdo.
Look at you.
There you go.
Throwing some knowledge down.
That's it.
Oh, don't even start.
Take that,
now
Batman.
You can even hear it.
now we're rocking a good sizzle.
There you go. See? Now you can hear it.
I'm going to put
Somebody said something. I can't remember her. Jill.
Somebody said something.
Joni. June what? Cleaver said something in Salty. I can't remember her name.
Crystal?
Hot sauce. That's how I remember.
Sauce.
Crystal hot sauce. Spicy.
She's
Louisiana.
That's right. So now we're using a spicy sausage, of course, for those who want a more bland, mild sausage. That's
Resistance.
Fine.
Yeah. If you can't handle the spice,
get out
of the kitchen.
Just
go ahead and go.
Just go get yourself a plate.
Now,
of
how many, over your research, how much research did you actually do to go into your first cookbook? And was it, I've had chefs tell me that actually they put more research into their second cookbook than their first, because they thought their first cookbook they thought I couldn't research any more than we possibly did, and all of a sudden number two it was like, oh my God, it seemed like it was twice as hard. Is that the same?
No, that's very true. Our first cookbook, it stemmed from our family memories, you know, so we pulled a lot from family recipes and updated them with our suit our palates and the modern twist, you know. But with the second one, we really listened when we were out on the book tour the first time. People were looking for gluten-free options. They were looking for diabetic-friendly, more vegetarian options. Yep. They're like, I said earlier, people didn't even know what a casserole is. So they're like, oh, but lasagna I love, kugel. I'm like, so we went to an international chapter to kind of show people that casseroles
have been
around everywhere. They're everywhere. They're actually the national dishes of a lot of countries like Australia and South Africa. Yeah, casseroles are everywhere.
Road trip.
It's like zebra casserole down there or something. I know.
Hey, we have a Israeli casserole. We want to go with you to Israel.
That's right.
We have a casserole.
I think it's a great idea.
Let's go.
I'm calling a couple of people, telling them they can't come.
Yeah.
Can you run a video camera?
Oh, yeah. We totally.
Great.
No, but of course, in a lot of cuisines, as you said, all around the world, casseroles have been there because, once again, it was more economic. They could serve more by buying less with a casserole. And I think that's really what has made casseroles. And I think now people are beginning to realize casseroles were awesome. I mean, yes, you had some bad casseroles, like broccoli casserole, which is hideous.
Oh, I kind of like broccoli casserole.
Okay, but wait, so casseroles, just my opinion here.
Uh-oh. You've never eaten one.
Yeah, I've seen them. I have. No, seriously. And I think that part of the reason the casseroles existed back then was because the ingredients pretty much were awful. If you look at food ingredients like in the 50s and 60s, there wasn't good product. I mean, so you cooked things longer and you know, baked them in the oven because they would, you know, the meats would soften, the things got a little bit better, and you had, I mean, there was, you couldn't go get your chanterelles over at Whole Foods to make your cream of mushroom soup.
Right.
You got the can, red and white can.
Yeah.
I mean, so there you
times
go. That's why.
Yes, they have, but I still love a good tuna casserole with great potato chips.
You put goldfish on it?
No, I put Lay's potato chips across
the wavy kind.
It's
the
all
wavy kind, yes.
Yes, I live edgy. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about celebrating a good life. As you can tell, we're celebrating with the Casserole Queens, Sandy Pollock and Crystal Cook, as they're celebrating their new book, The Casserole Queens Make a Meal Cookbook. Go out and get it right now because they want to be back on top of the New York Times bestseller list.
Let's
Chef and
it.
Batman taking it to the streets of Cook's Warehouse at East Cobb.
Yay.